Lord, as we gathered here this afternoon in Thy name, we do put ourselves under the authority of Thy headship. Lord, do create within us a spirit of humility, a spirit of obedience, that as we come to Thee, Lord, we are to hear, not to speak. Lord, we do pray that human words will not conceal Thy will, but Thy Spirit will come forth using Thy Word to touch our hearts and bring us into that which is Thy will. O Lord, we do come and ask Thee that we do not want to know things just for knowing. We want to know because we want to do Thy will. Let this Spirit be our spirit this afternoon as we approach this session. Lord, Thou art our wisdom. Thou art the answer to every question. Do not allow us to answer these questions and take them just as a technical solution. Deliver us from that. We pray that in all these questions and answers, Thy Spirit will bring us into Thy will. Lord, we commit this time into Thy hands with fear and trembling, looking to Thee in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, you can see that I have a bundle of questions. I don't think we will have the time to answer every question. So what I do, I try to group these questions. And actually, most of these questions can be grouped into four groups. So these are the four areas that we will be dealing this afternoon. And we may not be able to answer specifically your question, but hopefully in dealing within these areas, your question will be answered. So that is the way we'll try to do. Now all these questions, most of these questions, can be grouped into four different categories. One is concerning this matter of local church, local assembly. Now we are talking about government and ministry of local assembly. So first of all, we need to have a right understanding of what a local church or local assembly is. And I'm afraid there is confusion there. So the first area is in this matter of local church or local assembly. And the second area is in this matter of government, elders. And what happened if an elder sinned? Or if one elder began to control the church. Things like that. And the third area is on ministry. How does ministry develop? And so forth. And the last area is women's place in the local church. In government and ministry. Very interesting question. So I will leave the most interesting one last. These are the questions concerned with local church or local assembly. Before we go into these specific questions, I think we need to lay a ground on what a local assembly or local church is. You know, today we talk about local church or local assembly in a very loose way. Any Christian group, in any place, will say, this is a local church. So you say you are the local church, and I say I am the local church, and everybody, every group is saying, claiming that they are the local church. So what is the local church in the scripture? Now, of course, we mentioned at the very outset that you do not find this term, local church or local assembly, in the scripture. The word church actually, the better translation is assembly, that's true. But, so when we are talking about local church or local assembly, it's one and the same thing. But actually you do not find in the scripture that term, local church. We use this term because it describes the manifestation of the church in a locality. As we mentioned before, we are human beings. We today are still in the flesh. We are limited by time and space. Even though we do belong to the church, because there is only one church, the Lord said, I will build my church, not churches. I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And we all belong to that church. But it is so universal, it spans 2,000 years. It covers the whole world. How are we going to have contact with one another, to maintain a very close relationship, to be related to one another, to be built up with one another, and to serve together? The only way is wherever the Lord puts you, with other brothers and sisters whom the Lord has put in the same locality, then you are able to know each other, to rub against each other, to step upon each other, to hurt each other, to comfort each other, to love each other, to care each other, and to serve together. So in the Bible you find this is the way that God put all the spiritual principles of the church, universal, into practice. So the local church, you find, is a fact in the New Testament. It is not a teaching. It is a fact. You open the book of Acts. We know the book of Acts tells us of the history of the early church. Now you see in the book of Acts, the church in Jerusalem. Why? Because people were gathered in Jerusalem. And then you have the churches in Judea. Why do you call the churches in Judea? Because Judea is a province. It is not a city. A province has a number of cities. And in various cities, there are Christians assembling together in the name of the Lord Jesus. So, the churches in Judea. And then you have the church in Antioch. Because Antioch is another locality. And so on and so forth until you find when Paul was in Rome, actually there was the church in Rome there. So in the book of Acts, what you see is local assemblies, local churches. Because the way that God builds the church universal is by building up these local assemblies. So the word local church is a description, not a teaching. It is history, not a doctrine. It is to put all the spiritual principles of the church universal into practice. Now, we mentioned that at the very beginning. Because the church is one, and the expression of the church in each locality is also one. Otherwise, you are not able to express, manifest the church. Where God's people are in a certain locality, they represent the church in that locality. The church universal includes all God's people all over the world, all over the 20th century. Everyone who believes in the Lord Jesus belongs to the church universal. Not one is accepted. The same thing is true with church local, assembly local. Because the church local includes all the believers in that particular locality. Now, of course, in the New Testament, you find the locality is represented by cities. Why? Because cities are the congregation of the people, a community. When people dwell together within a certain boundary, under a certain government, a unit. So, in the New Testament time, you find it is a city. A city is the boundary of the church local. And also you find when our Lord Jesus was on earth, he traveled through cities and villages. So you have cities as unit, or villages can also be units. Why? Because the idea is a community where people dwell together. So this is the basic idea of the church local. Now today, we find we use that in a very loose way. Because all the Baptist churches call themselves local churches. Not only the Baptist churches, but all the denominational churches call themselves local churches. And we find that even many independent groups, they call themselves local churches. In other words, in one city or in one village, in one locality, there are many, many, many local churches. Now, this is unscriptural. Nobody can claim themselves as the local church unless they include all God's people there. So when we talk about local church, we mean all God's people in a certain locality. That is the scriptural meaning of the church local. Where two or three are gathered together unto my name, there am I in the midst of them. Matthew 18:20. Where a locality? Two or three, plurality. Because one person does not constitute a church. At least two or three. And they gather together. Not just gather together. But they gather together under the name of the Lord Jesus. They put themselves under the headship of Christ. Because Christ is the head. And when these two or three in the locality put themselves under the headship of Christ, they represent the body in that locality. So the Lord said, there am I in the midst of them. In other words, the presence of the Lord among his people is the evidence that this represents his church in that locality. What is the ground of a local assembly, local church? In other words, on what basis, on what ground do we gather together? And we know that this is according to the Word of God. Now again I say the word ground is not in the Bible. It is a modern language. It is just trying to tell you that, well, we know that the local church includes all God's people in that locality. But how? How do they meet? Do they meet? On what ground do they gather together to make them the expression of the church local? To make it very simple, the ground of the church logo is number one, the authority of the Holy Spirit. Now we are coming down to very practical things, remember. Who is the head of the church? Christ. Gathered together unto his name. The name of Christ. Now, who is the one on earth that is representing in a very practical way Christ and his name? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. So when you come into the practical expression, where two or three are gathered together unto the name of the Lord Jesus, but people may say, well, we gather together unto the name of the Lord Jesus, but they do not put themselves under the authority of Christ. They may put themselves under the authority of a man, maybe a spiritual giant. Now that does not constitute
a church local.
Now, how do we know that we do gather together unto His name? How do we know that? Christ today is absent. He is in heaven. How do we know we are gathered together unto His name?
Well, the Holy Spirit is here.
He is the other. Another comforter. Another of the same kind, not of the different kind. In other words, you find that the authority of Christ is today represented, manifested, exercised by the Holy Spirit. So in practical terms, whenever God's people gather together and really put themselves under the authority of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit has authority there, you know they are gathered together unto the name of Christ. Now you read the book of Acts. You find that these people, they put themselves under the name of Christ. They gather together unto His name. You find it is mentioned again and again, the name of the Lord Jesus. They uplift that name. They gathered unto that name. And because of this, you find the authority of the Holy Spirit is most evident. You remember chapter 5 in the book of Acts. When Ananias and Sapphira, they are believers, real believers. And they have a heart for the Lord. They want to be of help. They sold their properties. They gave some to the church. But unfortunately, they conspired against the Holy Spirit. The property is theirs, Peter said. It's yours. Nothing wrong with that. Even if you sell it, it's yours. Nothing wrong with that. And if you just give a part of it, that's all right. But if you are trying to cheat the Holy Spirit, as if the Holy Spirit is not present in the church, you want to cheat the Holy Spirit and say, this is all, in order to get a name for yourself. What is that? And immediately, Ananias and Sapphira passed away. In other words, the authority of the Holy Spirit is most evident. Brothers and sisters, when we gather together unto the name of our Lord Jesus, do we put ourselves under the authority of the Holy Spirit? Is it real? Or the authority of the church is somewhere else? Or in somebody else. Now that clarifies whether the gathering of the people in that locality can represent the church local or not. That is the test, the ground of the local assembly. And then secondly, now the church is both spiritual and physical. You know, the church universal is spiritual. It is not physical. But the church local is not only spiritual, but also physical. In other words, you cannot see the local church or touch it. But you can see and touch the local church. Tell it to the church. Matthew 18. And because it is physical, therefore you find there is a boundary. It is the boundary of the locality. What represents the local church? A local church is a church which is bounded by the locality. That is, every believer in that locality belongs to the church. You cannot try to draw a smaller circle than the locality and say, this is the church local, because it is no longer local. Local means that locality. Is it clear? So in other words, to represent the church local, you have to include all God's people in that locality. Then it is the local church. You can call it the local church if you want. Now, it is because of the confusion or misunderstanding, misconcept of the local church. Therefore, you find all kinds of questions coming up. Let me say a little bit more. Because I know today there are people who emphasize very strongly on locality. In other words, they made locality the sole ground of local church. And by emphasizing that, instead of uniting God's people, they divide God's people. Because they say they are the local church, and people who do not meet with them, they are not. Then where they are? Where are they? They are suspending in the air. So instead of uniting God's people, they divide God's people by claiming locality. Brothers and sisters, remember one thing. Locality is not a teaching in the Bible. Nowhere in the Bible you find the teaching of locality. If you can find it, please let me know. Locality is a practice, an example, history. It is not a teaching. If anybody tries to teach locality, it leads to heresy. It leads to division. It becomes a sect. Maybe worse, a cult. Locality is never a teaching in the Bible. Then what is the teaching about locality? The teaching is the unity of the body of Christ. Brothers and sisters, you will find that being taught all over the scripture. We are one. Be one as I and the Father are one, said our Lord Jesus. You are not divided. Christ is not divided. You are not divided. You are one. There is one body, one head, one church. So you see, The teaching in the scripture is the oneness of the body of Christ. It is the unity of the body of Christ. That is the teaching. And because we obey the teaching of the oneness of the body of Christ, and we want to express that oneness. How are you going to express that oneness? Well, in the place where you are, you should be one. See, that is the way to express oneness. If you live in one locality, you are not able to express your oneness in a practical way with people 5,000 miles away. In spirit, you can be one with them. But in practice, you cannot do that. So the only way to practice the unity, the oneness of the body of Christ is in a locality. If you live in one locality, you are one. And express your oneness together, that the world may know that God has sent His Son into this world. Brothers and sisters, you hear the prayer of our Lord Jesus in John chapter 17. You know, when a person is going to leave, his last word must express what is deepest, dearest in his heart. So here you find our Lord Jesus before He was crucified. In His prayer to the Father, He poured out His heart, what He desires more than anything else, to the Father. And in His prayer is, all who believe in Me, that they may be one. That the world may see that You, Father, has sent Me into this world. Brothers and sisters, the unity of God's people will convince the world that God has sent His Son into this world. It is a tremendous testimony. Why? Because in this world people cannot be one. No two persons are one. The flesh is independent. If the world wants to see a unity, the way to do it is uniformity. Try to force everybody into the same mold, and then you say, we are one. But not so in the church. There is no force. And yet you find we, with all diversities and all backgrounds, we can be one. All the distinctions of race, of language, of social status, of education, of backgrounds, all these things are eliminated by the cross of our Lord Jesus. And we are one in Christ Jesus. And we express that to the world, that we are one. Look at the early church. They do not seem to hold gospel meetings every day. As a matter of fact, the only gospel meeting you can say are two. One is on the day of Pentecost, when Peter and the 11 stood up. And the other is when John and Peter, that lame, was healed. And suddenly a group gathered around them, and it is just a opportunity for preaching the gospel. But it is not prearranged. And yet you find the gospel spread. Why? Because people look at these people in Jerusalem. What happened to them? They love one another. They care for one another. They are with one accord. They help one another. They are one. With all the differences among them. And yet they are one. Brothers and sisters, the world has to say, God has sent His Son into this world. Otherwise, such thing cannot happen. Is it true today? You know, when we preach the gospel, we often are faced with this question. You, who all proclaim to believe in the Lord Jesus, why is it you have the Roman Catholic, you have the Methodist, you have the Assembly of God? Why you have all these things? If you all proclaim you believe in the one God, one Christ, and one Spirit, why? Where is your testimony? But if we are really one, brothers and sisters, our very life will convince the world that God has sent His Son into this world. The oneness, the unity of the body of Christ is the testimony of the church. And to express it in a practical way, all the believers in the locality are one. Now, of course, today we say, this is impossible. In the early days, yes. In Jerusalem, in Antioch, even in Rome, well, in Corinth, they are still one, but they are on the verge of being divided. Because some began to say, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollo, I'm of Cephas. Oh no, I'm bigger than you, I'm of Christ, but in an exclusive way. But today, what do you see today? You see I'm of Paul. You see I'm Apollos. You see I'm of Cephas. And you see I'm of exclusive Christ. You see that all over. Something has broken. And humanly speaking, there's no way to put them together. Now, does this mean that because of this, we will just be content with of Paul, of Apollos, of Peter, or of Christ exclusive? Then the testimony of the Lord Jesus is lost. Brothers and sisters, God is to recover His testimony on earth. Everyone who loves the Lord knows in his heart or her heart that something is wrong, and God wants to restore it to His own satisfaction. You have that longing in your heart. But how is it to be done? There is no way to recover it outwardly. As we mentioned before, in the recovery work of God, He is to recover the reality not the appearance. In appearance, it will never be able to be recovered. The scripture does not tell us that it can be recovered. On the contrary, you find the church is going into apostasy. We are already in apostasy. But God is not defeated. He is working towards the recovery of the testimony of the oneness of the body of Christ. On earth, not just in our mind. How? Throughout the church history. It does not start today. Throughout church history, wherever you find the church began to deviate, to go off tangent, become something other than what God wants it to be, become an institution, an organization, a system, a form, a division, a tradition, whenever you find such things happen, God reacts. And the way God reacts is He will touch certain people who really love the Lord out of a pure heart. He will touch their hearts and say they refuse to accept the status quo. They want to return to the Word of God. They want to return to the heart of God. They refuse to be divided. They refuse to call themselves by any other name than the name of Christ. They refuse to be conformed to certain systems. They confess that they are one with all God's people. And you know, in church history, they were persecuted. They were put to death. Not by the word, by Christianity. Their histories were wiped out. Only in recent decades, we began to discover, for instance, the story, the history of the Anabaptists. Because all their books were destroyed. The official church will not allow these things to happen. Brothers and sisters, thank God, throughout the centuries, there will be a remnant who are faithful to the Lord. They maintain the oneness of the body of Christ. They do not claim themselves to be anybody or anything. But they stand on the ground that they want to put themselves under the authority of the Holy Spirit. And they open their hearts and hands to all God's people in where they are. Even though they are rejected, they are misunderstood, they are persecuted, yet they embrace them. You'll find them in church history. This is the recovery. So the recovery of the church local is God will raise up a people who will testify to the reality of the oneness of the body of Christ and the headship of Christ. That's what it is. No one can claim themselves as the local church anymore. It belongs to all God's people.
But the testimony has to be recovered. Dear brothers and sisters, may the Lord touch our hearts that we, by His grace, be faithful to Him and know the headship of Christ and the oneness of the body of Christ. So it is just a testimony that can be recovered today, not a appearance. But anyway, now with these things understood, then we can deal with the questions that are asked about the local church. All right? This is the question. In rethinking the work, now, of course, this is one of the conditions for you to come to the afternoon session. Whether you feel it or not is another matter. In rethinking the work, that is one of the book assigned. Brother Nee spends time talking about the local church being in only one locality. In our fellowship, we have families from different localities separated by 30 miles from where we gather. Is this a problem? As we say, the locality is not a teaching. It is a fact, an example. By locality in the scripture, it means a community. So you do not take locality too technically. In other words, spiritual principles has to be applied spiritually, not technically. Now, if you try to apply a spiritual principle technically, it is dead. It has to be applied spiritually. Now, suppose in this locality, there are a few believers there, and they are really gathered together unto the name of the Lord Jesus, and they really open their heart to all believers there. Even though there are a few, yet in a representative way, they are bearing that testimony for the Lord. Just like the remnant, Jewish remnant, who return from Babylonian captivity, even though they are just a remnant, and yet they represent all the tribes of Israel. Now suppose 30 miles away, you live there. But unfortunately, there is no other Christian there. No other believers who desire to be under the authority of the Holy Spirit. No other Christians want to accept all believers. They want to be divided. Then what do you do? How are you going to be built up, to be helped, to be edified? There's nothing wrong for you to drive 30 miles to where there is such an expression. So you try to join them and be built up together and learn the lessons that God wants you to learn. Until the Lord raises up something in your locality, then there will be the testimony to the world there. So there's nothing wrong with that. You know, if you get into too technical, now how do we draw the line there? Because modern cities are different than ancient cities. New York has 5 boroughs. London, metropolitan London. Now, how do you draw the boundaries? Whether you take the metropolitan London as one unit of the church, or whether you take a district, a township, a postal zone,
as a unit? Be flexible. As the Lord leads. You know, do not be too technical about it. It can be one. It can be a number. Because there are many communities there. Many communities there. The only thing is, do not try to set up another because you do not agree with some brothers and sisters. And then you take it technically. Well, I move across the river. Therefore, I'm in a different locality. I can have my own. Just like the synagogues. You know the synagogues? It was during the time of Babylonian captivity. There was no temple. And they want to worship God. So it was a marvelous invention. Synagogue. If you have 10 men of leisure, by leisure means that 10 men who are willing to give up some time for religious reason, you can form a synagogue. So everybody can form a synagogue of his taste. Very convenient. But dear brothers and sisters, so there is, you don't need to be too technical about it. Just see that your spirit is right. All right? And here it is another one. He said, many of us do not live in a locality where there is a gathering around the Lord such as found in Richmond. Richmond is a very bad example. You do not know us. The choice, I'm being honest, before the Lord, I do have a fear. I'm afraid people look at us more than what we are. The Lord have mercy on us. The choice is either to travel a short good distance to meet or to meet in a locality with others on mixed ground. To travel is not very practical and often impossible as far as family and finances are concerned. Now, how do these matters of church government and ministry of the word apply to those of us in these circumstances? How can we grow and be developed in these areas so that spiritual principles we have heard will be practiced in their outworking? Now, first of all, we have already explained. Now, if you really want to be part of the testimony that the Lord is restoring, then if there is no one there in your place, there's nothing wrong to travel to another place. If it is too much to travel, there's nothing wrong to meet with Christians of whatever ground they may meet, so long as they preach Christ. They love the Lord. Why? Because Christians cannot live by themselves. No matter how spiritual you are, you cannot be by yourself. You need fellowship. So if the Lord hasn't raised up something, then you have to find a place where you can receive help, that you can have fellowship with. You know, that's okay. But if you know what local church is, then there's no necessity for you to join a church because you're already in. Now, as to government or ministry, probably in that kind of situation, you cannot talk about government and ministry. And here is another one on that. Having read the church and the work, and having an understanding that our unity is in Christ only, and not whether we agree or disagree. Is there ever a time that we can leave a local church without moving out of town? Very technical. In other words, if after 20 years there is still a close attitude to the living work of the Holy Spirit, are we bound to remain with such a local church? Is there a time we can leave and meet with other local believers? Very confused. If you really know what a local church is, if it really represents its testimony, then, brothers and sisters, you are stuck. You cannot lead the body. But if the authority of the Holy Spirit is not there, I do not know what he means by the living work of the Holy Spirit. I don't understand exactly what he means. But if the authority of the Holy Spirit is the headship of Christ is not there, it does not represent a local church. So we need to meet on the ground of the unity of the body of Christ. How do you relate in a living way to other local assemblies and to other translocal ministries? You remember that picture, that vision John saw on the island of Patmos. He saw seven golden lampstands. Seven separate golden lampstands. And one like the Son of Man in the midst of the seven lampstands. Each lampstand represents a local church. They are all independent in administration, but they are joined together by Christ, a spiritual relationship. So, local assemblies have spiritual fellowship with one another, but no administrative relationship. You find in the book of Acts, the Gentile churches, they have fellowship with the churches in Judea and the church in Jerusalem. When there was famine in Jerusalem, in Judea, you find they expressed their oneness with them by sending relief to the brothers and sisters there. So they visit one another. They maintain a fellowship with one another. When they heard that there were believers in Antioch, they, in Jerusalem, sent Barnabas there to visit them, to maintain a spiritual affiliation relationship there. So there should be relationship, but it is spiritual, not administrative. That is to say, not one church control another church. As to translocal ministries, I think he's speaking of the four classes of people that God gave to the church in Ephesians 4. Some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some shepherds and teachers. Now there are those who are raised up by God to minister his word to the church universal. That is, to different local churches. Now, how do we relate to them? If it is a local church, number one, it has to be open to the fellowship of all God's people in that locality. Whether those people of God have different teachings, different experience, different emphasis. But if they are the Lord's, you have to receive them. As we find in Romans, receive whomever Christ receives. So you cannot exclude anyone because he has a different experience or he has a different teaching. As long as the fundamental teaching on Christ and his work is not violated. Now, if a person do not believe that Jesus is the Son of God, do not believe in his atoning death, then he is not a believer. But as long as a person believes in the Lord Jesus and his finished work on the cross, even though he knows very little, and he knows a lot of things that he should not know, brothers and sisters, no exception. A local church must receive all God's people. Number two, if it is a local church, represents the local church, then it has to receive all the ministries that God gives to the church. Because these ministries are God given to the church. So you have to receive all ministries. But in principle, you have to maintain it. In practice, you have to be careful. Why? Because today there are many so-called God's servants. They may not be sent by God. There are many who are truly God's servants and have a ministry, but unfortunately, they mix up with many other things. In other words, today's ministry are not pure. Mixed ulterior motives. And if they open your door, they will come in and take over. So that is the reason why in the scripture you have the elders. Why does the church need government? Needs people who oversee us? These elders are shepherds. They are guarding the flock. They are open to all God's ministries, but they have to decide what ministry at what particular time is beneficial to the flock of God there. Not in the sense of rejecting the ministries, but they have to be wise in deciding what ministry, what kind of ministry they need at a particular time. And what ministry will not hurt God's people, but will help God's people. This is the responsibility of the elders, of those who are spiritually responsible before God. You know, God has made provision for all these things.
Well, I think I have to leave the other questions on this local church out because we only deal with one area. There are three more. We have to stop at 4:30 because 6:15 the children will sing to us.
So let me just, I have to rush now. On this matter of, I'm sorry because I'm long-winded. We have already mentioned the importance of government. As we say, government is upon the shoulder of our Lord Jesus. And he is the one who chooses and appoints those who will bear responsibility in local government. It is not chosen by man. It is chosen by the head of the church. And the way he chooses is the Holy Spirit will manifest these men in the church. So you find that it is a spiritual thing. It is not a technical thing. Now, unfortunately, today you find that how do we choose elders of the church? We look around and we find there are some members in the church that are very wealthy and very capable. They are executives in a big corporation, you know, and we choose them to be elders of the church. Then all these financial problems will be solved. And administrative problem will be solved because they know how to deal with administration. They will run the church like a corporation. And sure enough, they turn it into a corporation. Brothers and sisters, no. No. Our Lord chooses those who will bear responsibility for the house of God. Very different. It depends on the life in them. And the Holy Spirit would manifest them to the brothers and sisters. It is evident. If your eyes are closed, you are not able to discern whom the Lord has raised up. But if your eyes are open, you see it. There is no need to have a time of ordination and present these men in an official way. And now, from now on, they are the elders. They have the position. They have the authority. Obey them. No need for such things. The church is spiritual in nature. So when you are not spiritual, then you have problems. But if you are spiritual, all the problems are solved. It is as simple as that. So let us be simple. The elders are recognized by their works, by their labor. Because if you desire, aspire for overseership, you desire a good work. So how do we recognize those who are in responsibility in the church? Look at their labor. Look at what they do. By seeing how they serve the brothers and sisters, how they become the bond servants of all, how they take brothers and sisters into their heart, how they spend time and effort, even themselves, for the brothers and sisters, to care for them. You know, God has raised them up to take care of the flock. So it's very simple. The tenure of an elder. Lots of questions on that. If an elder is appointed, is it for life? Or does it have a term? Now, unfortunately, the scripture is silent. We see elders appointed by the Holy Spirit, confirmed by the apostles.
But we do not see how long an elder is to function as an elder. Nowhere in the scripture. Why? Because it is a spiritual matter. How does he become an elder? He becomes an elder because his spiritual life seems to be a little bit ahead of the other brothers and sisters, therefore he can lead. He becomes an elder because he labors more, he functions more. Everybody functions, but he functions more. That's how he becomes an elder. What is his tenure? His tenure expires when he does not grow spiritually. Other brothers have outgrow him. His eldership expires when he is no longer functioning as such. As some questions say, he has been not functioning for 10 months. Now is he still an elder? Of course not. And that's why I say it is more convenient if you do not have that official thing done. You know? Then you don't need to consider this matter of tenure. It's automatically solved. They come in by the Holy Spirit and they go out by the Holy Spirit. Isn't that more convenient? You still want the elders appointed? Some questions say the elders becomes a problem. Should we ask him to take a sabbatical leave? Because we do not know how to go around him, whether we can go around him. He is there. Well, we give him a permanent leave. Not just a sabbatical, permanent. So I think it's very simple. You know, when you become very technical, it becomes very complex. But when you really touch these things as spiritual, it's very simple. Very simple. And there are other questions. I think we go to the other one. I think you are interested in women. All right, this matter of ministry. How does ministry produce? How are we going to encourage people to develop it? Now, who is going to look into this matter? Well, are the elders, one of the responsibility of the elders is to do that? Yes. Those brothers and sisters who are more spiritual, they have the responsibility to help the younger ones to be developed. See, not only develop in this matter of the ministry of the word,